The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our program. He is on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. It is Wednesday, the 13th of June, 2018, a day in which it will be very hot. Excessive heat warning has been issued by the National Weather Service. That means make sure you are very hydrated. Take that water with you wherever you go today. We're coming to you live from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our live streaming, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. Streams not only my program, but 24/7, all of our programs here on KVOI. All of my programs are available archived at buckmastershow.com, 790-2040. If you have any questions for Dr. Victoria Mazes, give us a call. Dr. Mazes is the contributor on health for our program. She's the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. She's a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes with us now on the live line. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you for asking. This major international study could change medical treatment for women with breast cancer. This is very important information we're going to share with our listeners today, Dr. Mazes.
Yes, so for a long time, there has been this really useful genetic test called Oncotype DX. There are some other ones too, but that's the most commonly used one, that essentially tells women when they have a diagnosis of breast cancer, how aggressive is it? How likely is it to go on and recur or lead to their death ultimately from breast cancer? And depending on what this Oncotype DX test shows, the oncologist will either recommend that a woman have chemo or avoid chemo, the chemo being unlikely to be necessary. And that's fabulous. The tricky part is that the vast majority of people, of women, fell in this kind of middle category where they couldn't clearly say, oh, you're at really low risk or you're at really high risk. And so all of those women up until now were just routinely treated.
What did this study from, I believe it was Vanderbilt University Med Center was kind of the lead author, Dr. Ingrid Meyer was the lead there. How widespread was this study?
Well, it was a great study. As you said, there were almost 10,000 women in it. And what they found is that of those women, 9,719 to be exact, had that mid-range of a risk of recurrence, which was between a score of between 11 and 25. So up until recently, those women would have had a recommendation that they go through chemotherapy. But in this study, they randomized women, and half of them got hormonal therapy alone, and the other half got hormonal therapy plus chemotherapy. And what they found is that having the chemotherapy added made no difference. It didn't increase women's likelihood of surviving cancer. It didn't change the number who were having recurrences. And so it really showed that in this mid-range, it was safe to just do the hormonal therapy, and that we now can probably spare an enormous number of women the over-treatment that they were getting because we just didn't know what the risk was. Another physician who was leading the study at Montefiore in New York said that about 60,000 women a year would be impacted by these findings in the United States alone, and about 70% of women are going to be able to sidestep chemotherapy when they have a score of below 25 on this Oncotype DX.
So these women would not undergo chemotherapy, which of course can be very invasive and with all sorts of problems in itself. They would then be taking a hormone-blocking drug and related medicines.
A hormone-blocking drug, yes. Yeah. So they would have initial treatment with surgery and surgery alone if they had a mastectomy, surgery and radiation if they had a more minor surgical procedure, and then they would be recommended to take either tamoxifen or an aromatase inhibitor, again, depending on their age and some other factors, but they would not have to also do chemotherapy. And that, one, saves a lot of money for the healthcare system, two, saves a lot of difficulty because chemotherapy is associated with a whole range of side effects and actually increases the risk of heart disease in women. It increases the risk that you may later on in life have leukemia. So while if it's necessary, of course you go forward and you do it. If it's not necessary, then you sure don't want those difficulty of going through chemo and then this increased risk of side effects.
So is this a big game changer in your opinion?
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about the numbers of women, 60,000 women a year in the United States and 70% of them being able to avoid, that's, you know, more than 40,000 women a year who can feel comfortable saying, I know I'm safe not having to do chemotherapy. And, you know, I think this is where we're going to move to in medicine, that we're going to get much more sophisticated with genetic testing and be able to discern who will benefit most from a particular medical intervention.
And that's been one of the issues for men in prostate cancer, has it not? Trying to determine the seriousness of the prostate cancer, because the vast majority of prostate cancers, from what I understand, are not the aggressive type.
That's true, and so we're learning ways in which breast cancer and prostate cancer may be a little more alike than we once believed. For many years, we have offered men who have a low Gleason score. The Gleason score is what determines how aggressive the prostate cancer is. So men with a low Gleason score are sometimes offered the option of what's called active surveillance, where they are carefully followed by their doctors, and as long as their PSA is not rising and they're not showing other signs of progression of the disease, they can follow a healthy lifestyle and make the kind of lifestyle changes we know can reduce the risk of prostate cancer and not have to have surgery or radiation treatment.
Getting back to the breast cancer, and there's been all that controversy about when women should have how often women should have a mammogram. What is the current thinking, Dr. Mazes, concerning mammograms?
Well, different organizations actually have different recommendations for mammogram frequency. The United States Preventive Services Task Force, which is, what our federal government sets as a recommendation for the whole country, recommended, and this was a new recommendation, it changed the recommendations, that women start their mammography at 50 rather than 40, and that it be done every 2 years instead of every year up until the age of 74. So that was really a pulling back. Now, you know, there are some people and groups that would recommend it more frequently if you have a very high risk for breast cancer, or if you have the breast cancer gene, the BRCA1 or BRCA2, then those general population recommendations wouldn't necessarily apply to you. But if you're at average risk, then doing a mammogram every 2 years starting at 50 to the age of 74 is what's currently recommended.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes will stick around for our second segment, which is coming up in a few moments. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. This portion of our program presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. How about a sandwich from Mona's Danish Bakery? And the bread that sandwich will be presented on probably came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. In fact, not probably, I know it did. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There is a link to Mona's Danish Bakery at Swan and Sunrise, and a link to all of the great partners that we have on this radio program. Exactly 12:15. Be right back.
With a little humor and whimsy, Tohono O'Toole is honoring the environmental significance of native bees during National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party on Friday, June 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. Meet your bee and enjoy the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb, and try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaris. Join them on Friday, June 22nd for the pollinator party. For more information, visit tohonoochul.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the noon hour, we will speak with the TUSD superintendent, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Also, a newsmaker interview with Tucson Realty's Hank Amos. Look at the real estate picture halfway through 2018. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI and, of course, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. She's the executive director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes, it seems like the gluten-free fad or whatever you want to call it is sure popping up on a lot of restaurant menus around the country. At least when I travel, it seems like there are more and more notations that a particular item on the menu is gluten-free. Is that, does that seem to be the case?
I think you're noticing a real trend. And, you know, it's interesting. About 1% of the population in the United States is truly allergic. They have the autoimmune disease called celiac disease. And there, the curative treatment is avoid gluten. And everybody agrees that if you have celiac disease, you should avoid gluten. Then there's up to 13% of the population in the United States who are avoiding gluten, some, you know, absolutely strictly, and others kind of more occasionally. And some of them have what is called non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So they don't actually have celiac disease, the autoimmune disease, but they notice that when they eat foods that have gluten in them, they have certain kinds of reactions.
And what is gluten?
Good question. Gluten's a protein, and it's a protein that's common in wheat, but it's not only in wheat. It's also in barley and hops and can be in some other grains as well. And then, of course, there are grains that have no gluten in them, like amaranth or quinoa. So people who have to stay off gluten have to avoid all of these foods and all the places they show up. And it can be a lot of places, for example, in soy sauce or in salad dressings, you know, just places you really wouldn't expect there to be a wheat byproduct.
If there is such a very low percentage, well, you said about 1% truly do have this celiac disease, which can it be tested, the celiac
yes,
disease?
Yes, it can. Okay. And it used to be that you needed to do a biopsy of the colon to know for sure if someone had celiac. But now we have a very good blood test. And you can have the blood test done in any primary care doctor's office or gastroenterologist. And the one caveat is that if you're avoiding gluten, if you're someone who said, oh, I'm going to just avoid this, the test could be negative. You could have a false negative. So if you're, you know, worried about that, could you have this, and you want to have the blood test, be aware that you actually have to be eating gluten for the test to be, to be truly positive.
And as far as gluten sensitivity, the 12 or 13% people that are sensitive to it, how about testing for that?
Well, I think it's worthwhile to test. You know, it is possible that some of them are in a pre-celiac kind of state and at some moment perhaps would develop the full autoimmune disease. It's possible that some of them have irritable bowel syndrome and they do better when they eliminate wheat or gluten-containing foods from their diet. You know, they've done quite a number of tests at this point and found that when you hide it, you know, when, for example, a study looked at people who were all asked to follow a gluten-free diet, and then they were given either a muffin and two pieces of bread as toast that either had gluten or didn't have gluten. And when the people got the true gluten, and, you know, they were made to look as similar as possible, they had bloating and pain, and they had fatigue and nausea, and they really could tell when they were getting that gluten-containing food as compared to the people who continued to be on a gluten-free muffin and two slices of bread.
The celiac disease, does it, I've heard that folks who have Irish heritage would be more prone to that. Could you elaborate a bit on that?
Well, I think really anybody can be diagnosed with celiac, and it is something that we probably don't necessarily think about as much as we should when we're seeing patients in our practices about, you know, could this be someone who has celiac? So certainly if someone has abdominal pain, has diarrhea or constipation, you know, those are people who you're going to think about testing for celiac. But I have to say, I often test people when they have less likely symptoms. For example, people who have joint pain, I think, you know, could this be a manifestation? People who have anemia, I think, you know, could this be a manifestation? Fatigue, sometimes really low vitamin D. So I think that it's one of those things, because it is truly curable if you go off of the gluten in your diet. Now, you know, that's not the easiest thing to do, but as you point out, with more and more restaurants having gluten-free options, it's certainly becoming easier. If you walk up the aisles of the supermarket, there's more and more gluten-free choices. And so it's absolutely become easier to follow this kind of diet. And, of course, lots of healthy food, like, you know, eggs and vegetables, fruit, nuts, these are all naturally gluten-free. You know, then they don't have to worry about it when you eat those whole foods.
One thing I've wondered about with this whole gluten-free stuff going on, about the calorie count. Does a gluten-free item necessarily, is it more caloric? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to go off gluten because it's healthier. And if you're eating whole foods, like you're increasing your vegetables and reducing your bread or pasta, it certainly could be healthier. But if you're just buying gluten-free bread instead of regular bread, that's not necessarily a healthier choice. And a lot of these gluten-free products have a very high glycemic index, which means that they rapidly bump up your blood sugar. So they're not necessarily healthier choices to get gluten-free crackers or chips or breads or pastas. But if you're substituting healthy whole foods, then indeed the diet could be moving towards a healthier diet.
You know, you mentioned vitamin D, and I think it's worth talking about. Here we are in the middle of summer. People think, well, Tucson, Arizona, you're going to get plenty of sunlight, but how often do people pretty much stay inside this time of year, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, it's a good point. The recommendations we have about avoiding midday sun, using sunscreen, wearing long sleeves and hats are all good recommendations for reducing the risk that we're going to develop a skin cancer, which is, you know, the way we are also developing those recommendations. But if we avoid the sun, if we're always wearing long sleeves, if we're always putting sunscreen on, we may not be making vitamin D through sun exposure. And so just to give you an example of myself, you know, I work indoors and I wear sunscreen because I'm very fair-skinned. And when I had my vitamin D level checked, it was low, even though I live here in sunny Arizona. So I think that it can be a useful thing to ask your doctor to check your vitamin D level and see where you're at. If you're low, you could either do sensible sun exposure, which would be not absolutely at the peak of the sun or, you know, in this kind of heat like we're having today, but early in the morning or later in the day, or you could take a vitamin D supplement, which is very inexpensive, and that can raise your vitamin D as well.
And that's very easy to test for, the vitamin
Correct.
D? Yes.
Yes, it's a blood test, and it's a 25-hydroxy vitamin D3, but if you ask your doctor to have your vitamin D level checked, it's pretty straightforward.
As far as sunlight, even 10 minutes exposure late afternoon is better really than nothing. Certainly you don't want 10 minutes right now in the middle of the day on a day when we have an excessive heat warning, but the sunlight is good for you.
Yes, and sunlight may be not only good because it's how we produce vitamin D through exposure of our skin to the sun, but it may have a lot of mental health benefits as well.
Right.
That's something that we're still learning about. But, you know, we evolved in a world where we were exposed to sun. We didn't spend all our time indoors.
And no, so, we didn't.
You know, there's evidence that shows being outside and exposure to light helps mitigate depression. It helps set our circadian rhythms and helps us have a normal, healthy clock. So if we're having trouble sleeping, early morning sun exposure can reset the clock. So I think that we may have gone a little too far to the extreme of avoiding sun.
All right, let's work in one call here. Robert has a question about vitamin D. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Bill, for your guest, I was depressed and like irritable all the time, and I figured my doctor just going to put me on antidepressants, and she just pulled my blood. And I work outside all day. Mm-hmm. And my vitamin D was 11, and it's supposed to be 20.
Wow. Interesting.
And I came back to life in about 10 days of taking a vitamin D supplement.
Wow. Interesting. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing that story. I think that, you know, vitamin D is a critically important vitamin. You just described that normalizing your vitamin D was effective at reducing your depression symptoms, which is, you know, good for your doctor for thinking about that and checking, especially since, like you say, you work outside in the sun. It also is critically important for our bone health, our heart health. There's some evidence that it may reduce our risk of certain kinds of cancer. So you absolutely do want to have a normal vitamin D.
And perhaps he was wearing sunblock, which can block vitamin D, correct?
Yeah. Yep, yes. Absolutely. Long sleeves, a hat. I mean, that's wise when you work outside in the sun in Arizona, but it may mean you don't make vitamin D.
Yeah, good point. All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much, Dr. Mazes. More information about what you're doing on your website, victoriamazesmd.com, and of course, you're on Twitter at vmazes. Thank you, Dr. Mazes.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Stay safe. Bye.
All right, be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Many people ask me what it will take to make our community a better place. Well, it takes all of us. Our greatest resources are retired people with a lifetime of experience, skills, and resources that could be used to transform our community. Many of you come from somewhere else and haven't fully connected. Our community needs you and needs you now. I encourage you to find a nonprofit or church and join them in helping to transform Tucson. Your retirement could be the most productive time in your life. Welcome back. It's Bill Buckmaster with you during the noon hour and some exciting news from our sponsor, Green Things. Green Things is teaming up with Zocalo. Zocalo's over there near Country Club and Broadway, all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Well, guess what? Green Things now has bought Zocalo, and Zocalo will be moving all of the Zocalo location over to Green Things on River Road on their 13-acre site. But before they do, everything's on sale pretty much over at Zocalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Let's go now on the live line. Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Democrat Steve Kasachek, who knows that area very well, around Country Club and Broadway, because certainly he's been out, well, maybe not in the middle of the day doing his running, but he certainly has run in that area very often.
Pretty familiar with it, and it's also a part of that whole Broadway widening thing that's still going on. So, yeah, know the area well.
Well, we got a lot going on, and I want to bring folks up to date. It has been now a little over about 2.5 months since a local developer unveiled the plans for the proposal for the Benedictine Monastery, a Tucson icon, certainly. And this included these seven-story apartment complexes. A week or so ago, you and the architect Corky Poster had a kind of dueling op-ed pieces in the Arizona Daily Star. Where is this whole thing right now?
Well, Mayor and Council began the historic landmark rezoning process. When this was owned by the, when the monastery was owned by the nuns, they didn't do that. I've spoken to the, her name is Sister Joan. She kind of ran the place while they were there. They believed, while they owned the site, that they had achieved preservation protection for the building by having had it listed on the National Register of Historic Places. In fact, that's a designation that does not bring preservation protection along with it. The only thing that does that is rezoning it to an historic landmark. And so we began that process several weeks ago. And the purpose of it was, number one, to preserve the building. Number two, probably more importantly, not more importantly, but more pointedly, was to just change the nature of the conversation with the development team to say, look, we're all for appropriate development on this site. but we are not going to discuss planned area development or any kind of development with the threat of demolition being the trump card that you're going to play if we don't buy into what you're suggesting. The seven stories that you're describing yielded an audible gasp throughout the room when it was presented to about 250 people that we had inside the monastery when Corky and Ross Rolney made their presentation. And people just understand that it's inappropriate. It's out of scale. It doesn't fit the site. I've had conversations with Corky directly, and his pitch is that we have to grow up as a community and embrace density and in the midtown in the midtown area in the as opposed to seeing sprawl out into the desert. And I said I don't disagree with that for a second. And we've got plenty of examples of that. But the question is as to context and site propriety, and this is not the site where we want to go seven stories. So I met with Ross last Thursday or Friday evening, just he and I, one-on-one, just to have a real frank conversation about what's possible. We actually walked outside the ward office, and you can see the monastery from there, and we were looking at it and talking about what direction might be. And he left and is meeting with his civil engineers and the architectural team again, and hopefully we can come to a compromise solution on this that will, number one, preserve it, number two, does not turn it into a dorm, which is where he is headed right now if we can't come to a compromise. And everyone's not going to get everything that they're after. There will be building around it. He owns the site. My goal is to make sure that whatever is built there, fits the nature and the sort of vibe of the area.
Could Ross Rolney just say, "I'm going to put a dorm there and I'm going to tear down the monastery"?
Not anymore. Not until we finish this historic landmark preservation. That was the purpose of my initiating that process. He cannot pull a demolition permit while that rezoning process is in play. So I'm hoping that he takes advantage of this time now. It'll take 6 to 8 months for us to work through that rezoning, to sit down and let's come to a solution. Nobody wants to get litigious about this. No one wants to see the place demolished either. But that card is off the table, and that was exactly what I was trying to achieve by beginning the process. We will no longer sit down at the table and have the lead be, if you don't like what I'm going to do, I'll just take the building down. That is no longer a part of the conversation.
But is Ross and the team feeling a combative atmosphere right now? Do they feel like, for want of a better word, they're being picked on right now?
Ross wants, and Corky, and in fairness to them, they want to develop the site with high-end apartments, condos that are not student housing. My message to Ross is nobody told you to go out and pay $6 million for this piece of property. You knew at the time you did that it was going to be a very, very sensitive piece of development. And to come in and suggest what you're suggesting and use the threat of demolition is simply not going to work. Do they feel besieged? They certainly know that this is not going to be that they're not going to just ramrod this thing home. If Ross developed right now what he can develop by right, he would put in 40-foot tall, about 4-story student housing around the site, and walk away from it. I don't believe he wants to do that. I know that the community doesn't necessarily want to see the monastery turned into a big dorm, and so we have room for conversation, and it is going on. You know, Ross and I are not combative with each other. I understand his deal. He wants to make a respectable profit, and he's certainly entitled to that. I want to preserve that site in a way that, and not just I, but the community. I'm not just hearing from people from the Sam Hughes and the Miramonte neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing from people from all over the region, and even still getting emails from Sister Joan, who's now back in Missouri. So this is a really sensitive site. I mean, it's as though they want to put in seven-story condos around Santa Vera Mission. I mean, that's just not going to happen there, and it's not going to happen here either.
What's Ross's background? What's in his portfolio that he's developed in this town?
La Encantada, he does some good stuff. You know, Ross is not a student housing developer, and he will tell you that. He did La Encantada. He's done some work in the downtown core. This would be his signature development, though. Mm. And I think he is sensitive now to the fact that the people around this area, myself included, are not going to be intimidated into the threat of demolition. We're going to do this right if we're going to do it at all.
Let's talk when we come back after the break, Steve Kasacek, about the area where the old Bookman store is, and is that going to become a small park? But right now, let's take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll hear from our fine sponsors. Steve Kasacek remains on the line. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you're always welcome to call this program at 790-2040. We will be right back.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and noble hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Etc.
excessive heat warning out there in Tucson, Arizona today. If you're looking for a place that's cooler, about a three-hour drive over to Silver City, where it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler by the very nature of the elevation over there. And it's not a bad drive. Once you get there, lots to do in historic Silver City. I suggest you go to their website as a starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. We send so many of our listeners over to that area. Great places to stay and many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Ward 6 Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek with us on the Buckmaster Show. We try to get him on this program on a regular basis. Councilman, a week from tomorrow, we will meet and I will meet and our listeners will meet the new City Parks Director. Is going to be here at the station and talking with us. And there has been some talk about a $225 million bond to revitalize Tucson Parks. Is that going anywhere?
Well, we'll have that conversation next Tuesday. I think everybody realizes that, Tuesday. Everybody realizes parks are a part of our charter responsibility, and everybody realizes they need a lot of work. Quite frankly, they need a whole lot more than $225 million worth of work, depending on how you define parks. What we are talking about putting into the and the reason I say that is because what we are talking about putting into the bond proposal are, you know, parks as you would understand them, you know, Reed Park and, you know, Himmel Park and all that. But in addition to that, some connectivity elements such as the greenways that we have. Connectivity elements within neighborhoods, the connecting sidewalks where they're not, you have it start and stop, bike routes, bike boulevards, those kinds of things as well. I have raised the issue of including the irrigation systems on some of our golf courses because that's a capital need that will not go away, even if we do repurpose some of the golf courses to a park use or an open space use later on. There's been some pushback from some of the other council members on that, but I think it's a legitimate piece of the conversation. I will say this though: I'm walking into next Tuesday's meeting when we're going to have this conversation a little bit skeptical about whether or not this is the time to do it. We just did the half-cent sales tax. The environmental service rates are going up. Tucson water rates are going up. The county might be putting about an $800 million bond out for roads at the same time. Timing is everything, and I'm just not sure this is the right time to be asking the question. Now, we could ask it. It's not for free. It costs us money to put something on a ballot, but we can ask it this year, and we can ask it again next year, the year after that. But at some point, the message is you begin to look a little bit desperate if you keep asking, and the voters maybe coming to the table with what part of no didn't you understand last time. So I'd rather do it right. You know, we're in a sprint right now. We have to make this decision next week in order to have time to get it on the ballot for November. Perhaps there's some wisdom in saying let's just slow down and do this in 19 instead of 18. But we'll see. You know, I think that there's, quite honestly, if I'm reading the tea leaves right, there's a majority of the people on the council who are going to say, let's just go for it and see what happens. And I'll try and get my oar in the water and get some things added. We do need a bond oversight commission so that it's not simply a question of trust us, the same way we did with the roads and with public safety. That there's a group of citizens looking at how the money is being spent and what it's being spent on and whether or not we're doing what we say on the bond.
I hear where you're coming from, and I think there may be some wisdom in the fact that maybe give this a little breathing room. After all, we've done the roads. The roads are improving, and my goodness, Country Club now looks good. That was always one of my best pet peeves. So the roads are looking good. We're working on public safety. Why not give this maybe a year some breathing room on the parks?
It's kind of where I'm leaning right now. I'm just saying that way we have time to do it correctly, go out and really get to solicit the public's input as to their priorities as well. How important are the connectivity elements? Where does golf fit into the whole parks conversation, or does it at all? As opposed to just doing it on a sprint, but we'll see. I think, honestly, if I had to make a bet right now, I'd bet that there are probably four votes next week to go for November. But I'm a skeptical yes if I'm a yes at all at this point.
Okay. The old Bookman site over there at Grant Road in Campbell, has now, of course, Bookman's has been torn down. They've moved to the Speedway location. So what happens now to that area?
Well, it's part of the RTA Grant Road widening. That's the reason the stores, both Bookman's and Walgreens, were demolished. Eventually, the Grant Road will take all of that, all of what used to be their parking lot, and would clip what used to be the western chunk of Walgreens. So the people who own the property are releasing it back, actually, from the city. Could not find tenants. They tried for a few years. They decided that it would be more cost effective for them to just take the buildings down and not have to pay the upkeep on them. And so what I'm doing right now is working with Brent Dennis, the new parks director, and our transportation director, Robin Rain, and the city manager, Mike Ortega, plus the four neighborhoods who live around Campbell and Grant, Abbey Catalina Vista, Jefferson Park, Samos, and North Campbell. And what we're doing is the neighbors have worked together to put together a concept for a small parklet. An example of that is up on Broadway, where the old Panda restaurant used to be, just west of Tucson Boulevard. When the Panda came down, we put in a little seating area with some DG and some trees. And that's what we're talking about doing here. We know that Grant Road is not going to be widened in this area for at least 5 years. So let's just do something that's more aesthetically pleasing than simply a dirt lot. And it's not going to be cost prohibitive. I've told everybody, all the neighbors, we're not going to be running a bunch of infrastructure, no lighting, not a bunch of plumbing and things. Everything that we're doing there has got to be temporary and movable so that we can't be accused of going in and wasting some money that's just going to have to be demoed later on when the road gets there.
You know, speaking of kind of a lot now that where there's nothing going on, you know, the old Fry's over there at next to the Tucson Botanical Garden, and I was thinking of this as I sent my check in renewing my membership with the Tucson Botanical Gardens. Wouldn't it have been nice just to expand that over to Grant Road? But I guess the Fry's people said no, but they did give a check to the gardens.
So thank you, Fry's, for helping the gardens out. I would certainly have preferred that they look at the offer. So when we're talking about the botanical gardens, people listening may think, well, that's a quaint little place. They had an over a $2 million offer on the table for that site, and they were going to partner with a major contractor here in Tucson to really build out the area. The conversation as with Fry's and Kroger's has come to a halt, but there are many of us who fully intend to approach the new owner, and Fry's hasn't told us who that is yet, to see if they really need the entire space. It's a huge space, and maybe there's still a partnership to be had. I completely agree with you. What a great way to expand the footprint of the gardens, maybe minimize some of the footprint that the new owners are going to have to take on, and see if there's still a win-win for the community and for the new owners too. But no, it was not a bunch of chump change that they were offering Kroger's, and so I was pretty disappointed that they just blew them off. Well, they didn't blow them off. They wrote them a check, but they bought them off. How's that?
Yeah, and again, how much was the check for?
It was $50,000, so it was okay. Not insignificant. Mm-hmm. I don't want to diminish Fry's effort, but there could have been a whole different kind of story to tell than this. Right now, Fry's is known in the community for shutting down three or four stores, and they're in the midst of a controversial redevelopment on the Far East Side. This could have been a feather in their cap.
Yeah, and do we know what is who the owner is going to be?
Don't know yet. I have contacted Fry's and Kroger's, and they're kind of holding that close to the vest. But we'll know very soon, and then that conversation will happen. You know, it's a big site, and I would be surprised if they need it all.
All right. I've only got about a minute with you, Steve Kasacek. How is the city's financial picture look as we close the books on the fiscal year here in a couple of weeks?
Structurally balanced from an operations standpoint, and the capital needs will continue, and that was the reason for Prop 101 for the roads and for the police and fire. It's the reason for the conversation about parks. I'm not sure about the timing, as I said. And we just got back from San Francisco where we talked to the major bond rating agencies, and all of our bond ratings were either stable or improved. And so the people who the money changers are looking at what we're doing, and they're giving us a thumbs up. So it's a good thing.
So the narrative that some want to portray this is just kind of Detroit of the West or whatever, Toledo of the West, it's not accurate.
Yeah, if they're looking for a Detroit or a Toledo, they can buy themselves a one-way plane ticket to Detroit or Toledo, because this ain't it.
All right, Steve Kasacek. Right. Are you running now real early in the morning, or what is your schedule?
It just takes all your energy. Yeah, I'm out every day doing the dozen miles or whatever, but it's so hot.
It is awful.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some rain coming. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasacek, the Ward 6 Tucson Councilman, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Always try to bring him in every other month at least, try to get an update on couple of those big issues, like the monastery issue. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike is the host, but he is ably assisted in the program by Ray Allen. Together they put together the program. Mike Check, 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Then it all starts over again. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson for 3 hours from 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, with what we just call Buckmaster. And put it all together, you have 6 hours, Monday through Friday, of locally originated talk right here on Tucson's Talk Station, KVOI. On behalf of Ray, I'm Bill. Have a great afternoon.